Hi, welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the weekly podcast where my guests and I explore what it means and takes to be a kick-ass and kind adult these days. Expect deep, real and raw, as no topic is out of bounds. We want lives and businesses that are profitable, sustainable and fun. We want lives that feel as good on the inside as they perhaps look on the outside. And that means adulting the fuck up. I'm Ebony Allard. I'm an award-winning coach, author and speaker. And if you're ready to implement, go to m2m365.club. For now, though, let's get on with the show. Hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's show. Today, I'm joined by Sally Manners, who is a long-term single mama, lifelong hustler, business owner, hypnotherapist, and NLP coach. She is a woman on a quest for connection, healing, community, female empowerment, and fuck loads of love. I met Sally through her awesome clothing line, Manners London. Welcome, Sally. Thank you for coming on my show.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's very exciting.
I'm actually wearing one of your tops today.
I know you are! I was like, don't say anything just in case you get it wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's one of mine. I've got the red one on underneath.
Well, you can't see this. I kind of want to do a screenshot and be like, we are flashing each other right now. There's a red one. I need that one. So for people who don't know, tell me a little bit quickly just about the clothing line as well, because I know you're a coach and you're all of those good things, but you run Dragon's Den and your clothing's amazing.
Thanks, babe. Well, my clothing line, that's the main thing. That's the main hustle. It has been since I arrived in London 4.5 years ago. It's been a roller coaster. It's a really long short story, but I guess the short soundbite is me and my son ran away from Bali from a very, very dangerous situation and arrived in London 4.5 years ago. And the day that I decided life had to change, a box of clothes that I designed for myself arrived, because I'm like 20 dress sizes bigger than anything you can buy in a shop there. So I stuffed it in my suitcase along with my son's giraffe, a few other things, some summer clothes, and landed in London with 150 quid and about 20 items of clothing that were medium size on the bottom and small size on the top. And we ended up in a flat by Portobello Road for a temporary thing. And so with jet lag, I walked to Portobello Road with my box of things and a succulent and a very upset five-year-old and was like, hi, I need to make money today. Give me a stall. And they were like, you can't just come and ask for a stall. And I said, you can't just turn away a mother and a child who needs to make money though, can you? And so they kind of swore under their breath, gave me a stall, crossed my fingers that 20 women with big bums and slightly less big top halves were going to walk by. And that was kind of how it was born, just by digging my heels in and praying. And then, yeah.
Slowly. I love that story. And we haven't got time today, but you and I will dive into this another time. But like, we have a Bali connection, we have a like hustle connection, we have like, there's so many things here, and people who are listening will love that synchronicity, because that's, you know, how the world works. And
absolutely. So it started from a little accident, really, and it's grown slowly, steadily, organically, and is, yeah.
Yeah, it really
is. It's good. It's getting there.
I'm so happy I found you. And also just we'll dive into like what adulting means in a second, but I found you because whoever does your ads and retargeting is on it. Just that's all I'm gonna say.
Excellent. Thank you for that.
So what does adulting mean to you?
Oh, bloody hell. Adulting means to me, I mean, I've been a parent for 10 years and that is where I've had to be an adult, obviously, more than any other aspect of my life. Adulting means to me, so many things. I mean, one of the things it means, trying to keep the cupboard doors closed rather than leaving everything open all the time. But on a deeper level, it means just breaking all this old shit that I've been carrying, being a better mother than I was mothered, saying no more, and just really looking at myself in the mirror and deciding every day how I want to be a bit different and a bit better, particularly in the space of my very small family and being a mother. That's kind of the main place I want to adult to my highest ability in my life.
I get that. And I feel like for so many of the people that I speak to on this show, like becoming a parent is that thing. And it's often like, so I don't have kids. I've got
hundreds of godchildren, like actually,
oh, yeah.
And I would love to be a parent, but I'm not. And so I find it really interesting because a lot of people say, you know, actually, I had to adult the fuck up once I had kids. But if you don't have kids, like, when do you adult the fuck up, right? Like, you, so you also get to adult the fuck up for yourself. That's really, it's a lot harder for a lot of people. And if you didn't have kids, would you still be an adult?
So my son said to me the other day, my son's been through a lot of trauma and he's had, yeah, he, in his 10 years of life, he's been through the ringer. And he, and some of it comes out in quite aggressive behaviours. And he, that's how he kind of processes his trauma. Yeah. And he said to me the other day, he said to me, I'm so sorry that I'm so unkind to you some days, Mum. And I said, to be honest, babe, I was a bit of a dick before you were born. And if you hadn't been so unkind for me to all these years, I'd probably still be a dick now. But it's really helped my growth, me to become a better person. So we're cool. You know, it's all for the greater good, which is totally true.
I love that you have that relationship.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, for me also, that the boundaries and like the, I don't know, when I was growing up, I kind of felt like adult was something that just happened one day, right? Like you woke up and you were like, I am an adult now and I have my shit together and I know all the things. Because as a kid, I looked up and there was this, and my family were actually, talk about everything and really transparent compared to a lot. And so I imagine in like, I'm air quoting normal, but in like normal families, there's such a dividing line between grown-ups and children. And there isn't enough talk, particularly in that teen period or as you're trying to figure stuff out for yourself, about what it actually means and takes to be an adult.
Totally. And I think that's an interesting thing about being this slightly strange unit of one mother, one child, which although we've got a new member to it finally in the form of a 6'4" sexy man, but the 9.5 years, it's just been two of us. And so you don't really have that. As much as you try and be very mother child, there is of course so many elements in of your life that you share with them, that they go through with you as such a small unit of two, you know, so. Yeah.
Recovering from trauma, like that's something that you, I love that you actively talk about it, that you don't make, you don't hide it, that it isn't a kind of hidden thing. Has there been a part of that that has, like, I'm assuming it's ongoing, right? You don't just,
I am
done now.
Yeah, I saw a really nice post the other day, which was something along the lines of like, how naive of me to think because I had a good day yesterday, my healing was over. And it just really resonated with me because we definitely do have those days. Sorry, carry on the rest of the question.
No, it was more like when, like, is there something that you have done specifically around it? Like, is like, what has been the main anchoring part for you around like that recovery, I suppose?
It's been huge. I mean, I'm literally unrecognizable to myself, even to the point when I go back to the town I used to live in, people don't recognize me. I've still got a long way to go, but certainly in the last 4.5 years since I came to England, completely broken. I mean, my trauma came out in many, many ways, in many bad behaviors, in lots of physical. I had blisters all over my body. I dug holes in my head. I landed in London broken, and my son was broken. And I've done loads of shit, done loads of things that haven't worked, done loads of things that I thought were to recover from trauma, but actually were total avoidance. But just time, just being gentle with myself, just really every day looking at why I'm doing things. Not to an obsessive point, but just trying to separate what's habitual from the old me and from things that my parents taught me, or whatever, from purposeful behaviors, and really trying to do as many things as possible with purpose, and just being honest and saying sorry and talking and connecting and trying to break narratives. A huge thing for me is that I've been a single parent for so long. I created such powerful narratives around being abandoned, being alone, being a victim. And it's amazing the stories you weave that connect into those. So I would never ask for anyone to help babysitting. I would never blanket no. Can you come to this? No, won't be able to. Can you come to this? Absolutely no. It's on a weekend, it's on an evening. No, no, no. And trying to unpick those stories, I guess, and we have hundreds of them, and going, hang on a minute, I can go out on the weekend. I do have friends. I can ask for help. So just, yeah, kind of constantly checking in with myself. And
assumption or fact. Yeah, I do that a lot. And also, am I using this as an excuse because actually I'm a bit scared, or like, yeah, I'm worried I'm going to use again in my case, or like whatever it is. Like, it's I really know that thing of like finding an anchor or finding an excuse or finding a reason not to. And I also know that in the beginning, like, one of the reasons my business is successful is because in the beginning, my excuse was my business, right? It's like, no, I'm building a business. No, I'm building a business. Yeah. So, yes, actively I was, and that's true. And I was building for my future and I was focused on all the rest of it. But there were also, if I'm really honest, times where I was using my business to set, because it became my comfort zone. This is the one area I'm in control. Yeah. It's the one area I can feel safe in. And it's actually really uncomfortable for me to go out and be with new people or try being sociable without the hooks and the props that I had before.
Totally. And looking at the higher purpose of your behaviours, like, why am I doing this? Is it to feel safe? Is it to feel, you know, is it to isolate myself? And just, yeah, getting tested over and over again. I mean, I came back to London. Basically, I married my dad. It was fucking shit. And then I came back to London and dated three guys, one after the other, not only with the same birthday as my violent ex-husband, but like the exact same behaviours. So, you know, you just keep getting them dropped in again. Like, let's see if you've learned a very valuable lesson. Oh, still no? Okay, here's another try.
But it's cool, isn't it? Like, I mean, it doesn't feel like it when you suddenly wake up to a person who could be exactly the same person, who could be exactly the same person in this, and you're like, how did I get here?
But it's
like really cool that the universe is like really clear with its lesson.
Oh god.
When will you learn this stuff?
Yeah, huge. And literally I feel you learn them, and almost instantaneously after you finally go, oh shit, then the good stuff comes in. Through all the pain, I had a very painful conversation yesterday and shared it with my brother as well. He was crying, and you know, I just said to him, like, this is exciting, this pain, like, let it go through you, because tomorrow you've got a whole space for some new shit to come in. And just, yeah, holding on to that idea, I guess, just sitting with it.
And being in a space now where you do run your own business, where it is making enough for you to have that freedom, where you are connected with other really cool kick-ass women who are empowering.
Love that.
We get to change the paradigm on what that looks like.
Yeah, it's amazing. Mm. And yeah, being surrounded by women, and I was scared of closing my market store because that was real face to face. People would come and see me when I closed my market store. People came and brought me chocolates and people that followed me from Instagram. But actually, it's quite amazing that you can have these connections. It's scary, it's good and bad, because you can become a total hermit and feel like you've got loads of friends when you haven't. But it's also amazing that, yeah, that community of women is like.
So when did you close the market store?
I closed it in October.
Okay, so still, you know, not that long. So last year, not that long ago.
Yeah, I was phasing it out. It was less and less. But yeah, last year was huge. I mean, I completed my law degree. I went on Dragon's Den. I trained to be a hypnotherapist, and I closed my market store and went completely online in the space of.
And how are you going to use your law degree?
Oh, I'm not. The stupid thing.
It's not
in London.
It's like it proved a point to you and showed you could do something.
Yeah, it wasn't a stupid thing. It was something I never in a million years thought I could do. I fell into it by accident. It was literally a joke. But I did it, and I'm the only person, probably part of it was just to say fuck you to my dad, because he thinks he's a fucking intellectual and he ain't got shit. And I did it. It was a very expensive fuck you, but I did it. So the sense of achievement was great. But
did it help? Did it help you on Dragon's Den? You feel information or like working in that way?
No. I mean, Dragon's Den, I went to the funeral of my son's father on Saturday. I wrote my whole law dissertation on Sunday and Monday. And then I was in Manchester on Tuesday walking into the Dragon's Den, totally reeling. Nothing helped me. I mean, I was like, I didn't care. I wasn't invested in the outcome. To be honest, I didn't really want investment from them. I didn't really want to align them with my brand. I got approached and asked to be on it. I didn't apply to be on it. So I just said yes.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, but it was terrifying.
But worth doing?
I mean, all these things are worth doing. Yes, it was worth doing. It was terrifying. I did it. The sense of accomplishment was massive.
Yeah.
Would I do it again? Fuck no. But I'm glad I did it. I barely even watched it. I couldn't watch it. I saw snippets of it and now it's gone. So, it was great to do because I hate being on camera. So, yeah, it was a great experience.
And what's it's so interesting. I've been asking people this season, like, what's your relationship with fear like? And it, you know, you've had this whole incredible adventure, which at times I'm sure did not feel like an incredible adventure, like making it out to be wonderful. But what's your relationship with fear like?
I mean, fear has so many faces. I think generally in life, big things I'm pretty fearless about. I mean, I would live anywhere. I would start over anywhere. I'm not afraid of change at all. I mean, my fears are like, what's my relationship with fear? I mean, I always joke. I took my son to Brighton Pier the other day and he said, do you want to go on a roller coaster? And I was like, hell no, I don't want to pay for fucking fear. Yeah. I've had enough fear in my life. I'm not going to spend £5 on that. No way. I'm fearful of, most of my fear is attached to my ego. So fear of looking stupid, fear, you know, all of those kind of small fears that are connected to your ego.
How cool that you can see that though, right? Like, you know, most of my fear is exactly the same actually. Most of my fear is about looking stupid. Or like being blindsided, actually, that's what it is. It's like my biggest fear is that I won't have seen something coming and someone or a situation will get something over on me. And I'll be like, oh, like,
I think that's a healthy fear. See, I'm the opposite. I think everyone just comes with love and everyone's wonderful, which has turned out really fucking badly quite a lot of the time in my life. And sometimes I say to my boyfriend the other day, like, why aren't I at all jaded? Like, when is it going to come? I wish I was jaded. So in a way, that's a really good protective fear because I have no fear of that at all. I kind of wish I did. But yeah, I think I have a fairly normal relationship with fear these days. I mean, when I came back from London, I was riddled with fear. I was terrified of the dark. I couldn't sleep with my light off. I couldn't go outside after dark. So I had loads of fear, which has kind of all just fallen away now, which is great. I've just got egotistical fears and they're all right.
Do you think there's any, like, what do you think it was that has melted it or shifted it? Like, I'm assuming you can turn the light off at now and sleep in the dark and go out at night and those kind of things.
I guess just time. A lot of it is.
But time and retelling yourself the same stories isn't gonna, like, nothing would change.
Sure.
Something must have changed, right? Like, you've done this.
Loads of change. I mean, there's been deep fundamental shifts. A lot of the reason it fell away was because there was nobody that was coming for me. When I lived in Bali, there was always someone that was coming for me. So I had security. I was in a constant state of fear. So lots of that just came with me. And then when those events didn't happen, I guess it went away. But a lot of just training, a lot of just chanting. Like, I've always been such a cynic. But after the 24 hours that led me out of Bali into London, like, there's no doubt that there's something that's fucking got my back. So just telling myself, I mean, I have all these mantras and I do them with my son on his way to school. Like, I am safe. I am safe. I am safe. And I'd lie in bed with the light off and just say it over and over again. I am strong. I'm powerful. I am safe.
See, that's not nothing. That's commitment. That's focus. That's attract, you know, manifestation. It's like retraining your beliefs in your brain and letting your nervous system know that you are safe, that you are strong, that you are protected, that you are taken care of.
Yeah, lots of that. Lots of just new habits and creating new patterns and, yeah, just being really tough with myself about not giving up on it, on myself, on the fact that the idea that there could be a new, better, brighter, lighter, safer life, safer love. Yeah, and it's all coming. It's really exciting. I've got a lovely man who's the only person ever that has loved me gently and kindly, and we have a beautiful grown-up relationship, which is fucking... I phoned him the other day. I was like, babe, sometimes I just think about you and I'm like, shit, I've got a real fucking relationship that I believe in, that I'm not scared of, and it's fucking awesome. Thank you. I love you. It's so nice.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere. I saw his face on the Instagram search thing, and I've never done anything like it before. I just went straight into his DMs and was like, yo, I've just seen your face. I need this in my life. Like, who are you? Where do you live? What are you doing? And that was it.
I need some of that courage. That's incredible. I love that as a story.
Yeah. And I felt really embarrassed. I was like, tell everyone that we met on the train. And then after a few months, I was like, fuck that. Tell everyone. I'm proud of it. I'm going to tell everyone.
Oh, that's so cool. Sally, if people want to come and buy your clothes, support you, learn more, like do all of the things, where's the best place for them to come and hang out and find you?
So my Instagram is the best place to come, because that's where I do all my sales, that's where I talk all my shit, that's where I post my pictures, where I swear a lot. If you're into swearing, that's the place to be. Which is at Manners, MANNERS London. You can buy stuff through my Instagram, through my website. It's the best fabric. It actually, I don't wear anything else. Like, I am the brand.
I am a complete convert. Like, I love it. I absolutely love it. And I also,
I can only see you up to here.
Oh, I'm wearing actually just the vest top today.
Yes. Brilliant. Yeah, you have got big tits. I love seeing women with big tits.
And they like actually stay like this one. Not so good, because I went for an XL, I think, but the dress, which
you'll be fine with an L. You just put your nipples where you want them.
And they stay there.
Magic.
It is absolute magic. Complete convert. Cool. Will you end with an I'm an adult, but with me?
God, I've got so many.
Pick just one. Just one will do.
I'm an adult, but my son says that I treat my kitten like a toddler with a new pet. I'm an adult, but I'm a total child, and I love it, and I don't care anymore.
Mm. I love that about you. I love seeing your playful energy come through. go and follow on Instagram and watch your story. I love watching your stories. It's really
thanks, babe.
Have I got one today? I am an adult.
I love that. What a great tagline.
But I really do like dressing like a child. And actually, that's one of the reasons why I like your clothes, because I don't have to put underwear on. I can wear one. Yes. I'm like, I am dressed and I look like I've made an effort, and I actually haven't.
Yeah, I should have done that one. I'm an adult, but I will not wear a bra. No, thank you.
No, thank you. Oh, thank you so much for coming and having a chat with me.
Thank you so much. I've loved it. Brilliant.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening, for sharing, for rating and reviewing. If you have enjoyed this free content, please take a moment to rate us, to share an episode, to spread the word on social media, or to come find me on Instagram and tell me what you thought. On Instagram, I am at Ebony Allard, and I will see you in the DMs. Bye.